Mark, I'm guessing you're down in Dunedin, so you can be that guy to start the interview. What's the temperature? Is the sun out? All that stuff.
I'm not going to do that. I have too many years of just incurring the wrath of my family and friends back home. So, no, it's brutal here. It's miserable. The sun hasn't been shining at all. We're all wearing heavy jackets and, as far as you know.
As far as we know. Yeah, well, that's why radios, it's theater of the mind. It's the audio medium. You can lie all you want about the temperature down there. I want to play this clip for you from a couple of weeks ago. One of your players, Kevin Biggio. This is Biggio talking about the signing of Hyunjin Ryu.
I do remember when we signed Ryu, you know, I talked to Bo, and it's just like, dude, like, it's happening. Like this can really be a real thing for this year, and, you know, and it's just... It's just like a lot of excitement.
So that's Biggio. When I heard you guys had signed Ryu, Mark, I was thinking to myself, okay, it's a 4-year contract. This is a longer term play. You guys would have your projections. Nate Pearson's going to be here. The rotation will round itself out. Bo, Vlad, Cav, and the others will come into their own, and there'll be a contention window. But the players are reacting as if this year is the year. I would imagine that that's what you're hoping for. That's the type of reaction you're hoping for from your young guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think that reaction from Kevin speaks to as much, you know, the thoughts and the belief behind stepping out and making a sign that is an incredibly uncomfortable sign to make when you examine the, you know, the stratosphere of starting pitching contracts. So these guys, their belief in each other as we talked to them and went into the offseason last year, their belief on what this club is potentially capable of doing, not just in the future, but even this year, they don't put any limitations on themselves. And to spend time with them one-on-one individually, to watch them collectively in the environment that they're creating in our clubhouse right now, and to kind of see a lot of different guys stepping forth from leadership and even the depth of talent, it is the kind of thing that could empower Ross and baseball operations to take a little bit of a leap, maybe even before we thought we would, and address our biggest need with a starting pitcher that potentially not just is a good major league starting pitcher, but could also fill a top of the rotation spot.
So what was it specifically about Hyunjin Ryu that appealed to you guys?
Well, I mean, it's difficult in general to acquire starting pitching. It's always better if you can develop it. For us to be where we were with such a clear and defined need in starting pitching, particularly experienced top of the rotation, just to kind of bridge the gap until our younger starters came. As we prepped out the list, he was towards the top of the list. You know, obviously, Garrett Cole was kind of alone at the top, and then he was in the next group of guys. The attributes for him are every guy's a little bit different. For him, athleticism, multiple weapons, the ability to attack hitters, the experience in a championship environment, and the ability to kind of slow his pulse and compete in that environment. Good teammate, leader in the clubhouse, brings a lot of positive energy, all these things. But I really think if you're just talking pitching, athleticism and multiple weapons, the ability to get hitters out in different ways rather than just rely on a fastball or just rely on an outpitch breaking ball.
With Mark Shapiro, the president and CEO of the Blue Jays, this is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Mark, what can you share with us as specifically as possible about what the plans are for Nate Pearson this year?
Yeah, I mean, Nate is a guy that we are incredibly excited about, and it's fun to see the rest of baseball and our fans start to get a glimpse of what has had us excited since the day we drafted him. And what's separated our excitement with him over another guy that just throws hard is that the preparation, the routines, the intelligence, the desire to learn and get better, the kind of person he is, the way he interacts with his teammates, all those things are elite. And that's the reason why when you look at, you know, the draft projections from the draft year, our area scout did such an incredible job getting to know him and advocating for the person he is in addition to the talent that we pushed him up our board and felt extremely strong drafting him. He's had a series of circumstances, you know, mostly just getting hit by a pitch and breaking a bone in his arm that have limited innings, and he's never really, you know, built up his innings. So we have to be careful to not necessarily monitor innings, but monitor fatigue. He's only had, I think, 29 total professional starts and two in AAA. So, you know, we are always going to evaluate all the information, but we tend to take a bigger look at developing a plan and building a foundation for a player. And we're not going to just react to three spring training innings. I mean, that's just not what smart baseball organizations do. But we also will keep an open mind and react to the circumstance and his ability. But we do have to pay careful attention to fatigue. We do have to ensure that we're building him up both as a pitcher and from a a base of workload perspective that provides him the foundation to not just pitch great for us for 1 year, but to pitch extremely well for us for a long time to come.
Do you have, just generally speaking, not Pearson or anybody else specific, do you have a general belief in terms of percentage increase year over year in terms of the number of innings pitched? Like, is it a 30% deal? Is it a 40% deal?
Yeah, there's been a lot of research out there. I think we are evolving in that to the point that we do not necessarily look at pure innings increases and instead try to come up with a variety of different measurements that give us insight into fatigue. We have so much more information than we had 3, 4, 5, 10 years ago, including just talking to Nate, but monitoring everything from spin rate to arm angle, and that we can get a sense of, you know, indicators of fatigue. And again, all innings are not created equal, Scotty. So I think when you start to just look at innings increases, it gets dangerous because you can have a 10 pitch easy inning. You can have a 35 pitch inning that can have a tremendous amount of wear and tear on a pitcher. So we're going to more carefully look at the bigger picture and monitor fatigue.
So I'm going to throw a hypothetical at you, understanding that the moment you start taking baseball opinions from me is about the time you'll probably be ready to leave the sport. But this is just a thought that occurs to me, which is, what if Nate comes up relatively early in the season and serves as an opener? Like, maybe mm-hmm. he's a two-inning guy every 5 days, and he builds up to become a three-inning guy every 5 days, and that helps to manage the workload such that he builds over the course of the season. I mean, is that the craziest thing you've ever heard?
No, it's not crazy. I mean, we've talked about every scenario and every idea, and I think we pride ourselves on not having any one person here think they have it all figured out. So we're actively seeking out, you know, opinions. Not from you, but from almost everybody else.
leave me on the other side, outside in the hallway, knocking on the door, begging to be let in.
That is genuinely one we discussed. And the danger in doing that is, as soon as you start, and we did it last year with him a little bit, like 5 innings, 2 innings. But as soon as you start doing that, then something unexpected outside of his control could happen. And all of a sudden you look up at the end of the year and damn, we only got him 90 innings again. We weren't able to boost it up. So we debated a lot of things, and, you know, we are going to treat him like a normal starting pitcher from day one. And if on the backside, if we have to adjust, we will, but we're not going to do it along the way again. We just think too much risk in that for what we're trying to ultimately accomplish with him.
Vlad Jr. was challenged almost, if you want to say, by, it seems the organization, even, you know, the city that, you know, use this summer and we want him coming back in better shape and to build off what he did last year. What have you seen with him kind of throughout training camp, and have your expectations almost changed from, say, maybe where last year finished off into where you see him today?
Well, I mean, I see a guy that came in determined to make improvements and make strides and make adjustments. I still see a hitter who has a chance to be one of the better hitters in the game. And I think when you're talking about Vlad, it's not a question if he's going to be a good player. It's just a question, is he going to be an elite player and one of the best in the game, or a good player? So that's a good spectrum to be in between. His areas of development are clear and visible, not just to him, but to everyone. And he's worked hard at addressing them. So And he has a ways to go still. I mean, I think that's kind of what he knows that, and we know that. But the biggest thing I see is a desire to address those things, a desire to get better, still has elite skill, and is a guy that has taken on in a different way from Kevin and maybe Bo, each of them, and Danny Chance, and each guy we have here kind of leads in different ways. But, you know, Vladdy's a guy that just kind of brings a joy to the ballpark every day, and guys like to be around, and is a great teammate, and is so positive. So that's valuable.
With Mark Shapiro, the president and CEO of the Blue Jays, I don't know how you quantify this. It's more of a quality than anything that you can quantify, Mark, but there seems to be an it factor to Bo Bichette. There will be, over the course of his first full season in the big leagues, a period of time during which he struggles. All players do. The best players in the league go through slumps. And so that will apply to any of your young players. But what is your sense of how he will be prepared to handle that? And what are some of the things that the club does to help guide players through when things aren't going as well as they're accustomed to on a day-to-day basis?
Well, one thing, you know, Bo already went through a prolonged period of struggling in Double-A, and I think that he benefited from that, you know, maybe more than our other guys who transition through the minor leagues and are elite players and don't struggle at all till they get to the big league. So he's dealt with that, you know, that moment of doubt, that moment of anxiety, and kind of battled through it for as a 19-year-old kid, which is pretty impressive. Looking at him now, I mean, I think you're right there. The unquantifiable edge that he's got is just that he is driven to be great. He doesn't accept anything less than that. He believes in himself. And, you know, there is something about the players who just sustain a high level of play for a long time that they're not framing success. They're not driven to be great by other people's opinions or other people's, you know, expectations, that something inside of them just believes in themselves and is out to determine and improve every day to get better. You see it in elite athletes in other sports. You see it in baseball. When you're around it, you know it. And he's the thing you referred to as the it factor is that desire to be great. I mean, he wants to be among the best of the game. He authentically and genuinely believes that he can. And I think anyone that doesn't is just a challenge to him to prove them wrong and to prove that he's capable of doing it. So he's already done so much to improve as a player from the time he was drafted, you know, obviously, or he wouldn't have been drafted in the second round. And he continues to be on that trajectory. So, and we do, you know, obviously have resources and consider, you know, helping players have a foundation, not just to perform physically and fundamentally, but also have a strong mental system to handle the ups and downs that are inherent in a 162-game schedule.
We really appreciate your time this morning, Mark, and congratulations on the improved facilities down there in Dunedin. People, Arash Madani and others I've talked to, say you've got a spectacular facility down there. I know a lot of work went into that. So we appreciate your time and certainly look forward to chatting as we lead up to opening day, unbelievably 3 weeks from tomorrow.
It's incredible. I'm looking forward to getting back and seeing you guys, and excited for all of Toronto and Canada to get to see our Blue Jays.